It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook and Elliott Shore Parks out in Vegas. Let me tell you that the like hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever it is that you had to, you know, go to the press conferences after and you do your job and do the post game and on WIP was much needed for me, because if we had done this pod right after the game, I would have been a lot angrier. And right now I'm just like resigned to remembering that I didn't think they were going to be that good to begin with. But man, like, what a uninspiring, ugly, undisciplined, poorly coached, poorly played game out in Oak or Los Angeles or Las Vegas. Jeez Louise, that's where I'm at, Elliot.
Yeah.
It was just, it was awful. I mean, it's one of those games where, and I know it's where, you know, 1 year in, I mean, you know, seven games into the first year of Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts as a combo or whatever, but it's one of those games that your knee-jerk reaction coming out of it is like, burn it all to the ground, man. Like, tear it down and start over. Like, the coach ain't it. The quarterback ain't it. The roster ain't it. The general manager ain't it. And, you know, I know that that's obviously, you know, just a knee-jerk reaction to a game. But right now they're 2-5. I have real doubts about them being in Detroit, which is sad in and of itself. Like, this is a bad spot right now for this team.
Yeah, so it reminded me, being there, it reminded me of the game in Detroit. I think it was on Thanksgiving where Chip Kelly was a head coach and they just got blown out, right?
Yeah, like, that was the Thanksgiving Day game.
Yes, yeah.
They got, so, it was like 54 to something. It was horrible.
Yeah, it reminded me of that. Like, it reminded me of being there, being at the stadium in Detroit that day. That's what it reminded me of. That was the feeling. That was the vibe I got walking down to the locker room. And, you know, I was watching the team and just thinking about where they're at, right? Like, where they're at. Like, you know, is this a quick rebuild? Like, is a whatever term they want to use to describe this year, like, where are they at? And I thought a lot about how coming into the season, I thought they would be better than they are. Clearly, it's been well documented. Me and you have debated it many times. We spent the whole offseason about it, right? Like, we all know where I stood on this team. And
I just love when people are always like, Elliot, you know you picked 10 wins. Elliot, you know you picked 11 wins. It's like, yeah, man, I know. Thanks.
Yeah, like, trust me. I am well aware that I thought they'd be good. But look, I think one of the reasons I picked them to be good was because I bet on their track record. And that's what we've discussed a lot, right? How I thought Lurie, you know, knows how to run a team, how Howie's resume is better, all those things, right? And we will certainly get into a big picture thing, because bad news, like, for the second year in a row, they're not even going to make it to November in playoff contention. So we got plenty of time to talk about big picture stuff. And I will certainly have my moment where I take my comeuppance? Is that what it's called?
Like sure. Humble pie, comeuppance, any of those.
Embarrassment, shaming, all those things, right?
Sure.
But I saw a tweet as I was frantically trying to get back to the hotel, like in the middle of about 800 20-year-olds going to an EDM festival. I saw a tweet, and I think this is where they're at now. All right, so it's from Sheil Kapadia.
I am so happy you're bringing this up because I screenshotted this tweet and I was going to mention it to you for this exact reason. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I screenshotted it as well. The Eagles have 6 wins since the start of the 2020 season, a span of 23 games. Only 4 teams with fewer wins during that period: Texans, Lions, Jets, Jaguars. Like, look, the Eagles are still, I believe, in like, I don't look not well run, like, but the franchise, they're not the Jaguars. I still believe that. But ultimately, what I have to accept, right, is that they are not the team they used to be, right? Like, that resume that I bet on, that bet failed. I'm in Vegas, right? Like, my bet lost. Like, the bet that I thought the history of them being a competently run franchise would repeat itself does not seem to be the case. And when you see the 4 teams that they're referenced with, that's who they are right now. Like, that's who they are. The last few years, 2018, they started 3-4. 2019, they started 3-4. 2020, one of the worst teams we've ever seen. They were at least like 2-4-1. And I know it's a tie, but they were better than 2-5. You know, like, it's going down. They're getting worse each year. The reasons I thought they would be good did not come to fruition, right? Nick Sirianni is not doing a good job. Jalen Hurts has not been able to overcome the coaching and certainly has some flaws on his own. Jonathan Gannon is not doing a good job. But the biggest issue they might have right now, and this is something we discussed during Sirianni's introductory press conference, and I'm not going to drag him back through the mud for that. But one of the things we talked about was, will these players believe in the coach? And we were focused on Sirianni, and there's a discussion to have with that. But I can tell you, being in the post-game press conferences, we don't get to be in the locker room, but being in the press conferences, listening to Fletcher Cox and Rodney McLeod talk, they do not believe in Jonathan Gannon. They can say they do. I've covered them their whole career since, well, you know, 10 years since they've been here. They've been on good defenses. These guys have been on championship teams. Like, I know people don't like when players throw coaches under the bus, but guess what? Like, these players are more qualified than Jonathan Gannon, right? And to hear them talk about him, not him, but like saying, you know, I've always played in aggressive defenses, so this is an adjustment. I can only play what's called. Like, there's a lot of problem with the Eagles. We'll get into the game. We'll get into all those things. The one that might be my most pressing right now is this team is going to stop believing in the coaches, and that's a major issue.
Yeah, and it's something with Sirianni, and I think Gannon, you know, clearly that's already starting. But with Sirianni, too, we talked about, you know, how his rah-rah, you know, kind of team and core principles and connecting and all that stuff, how that's like all well and good, but once you've lost 4 in a row, are players gonna buy into that stuff? Are they gonna believe in that stuff? And certainly right now it's gonna be a major test of that, and it seems again they already are. I mean, I'm happy you brought up that tweet because I was gonna bring it up to you for that reason of, you know, these are kind of the statements that I made going into this season, you know, in the off season, certainly about where the Eagles were at as an organization. And another tweet, just because you brought up the Gannon thing, that I may as well bring up right now, that is one of the most astonishing, I am not kidding when I say this, one of the most astonishing stats I've ever seen tweeted about the Eagles. Of course, it's from Ruben Frank, the deacon of tweeting amazing stats about the Eagles, but in terms of Jonathan Gannon and the passivity and lack of aggressiveness on defense, listen to this stat from Ruben Frank. In the Eagles' first 1,285 games, they allowed 8 quarterbacks to complete 80% of their passes. In the Eagles' last 5 games, they've allowed 4 quarterbacks to complete 80% of their passes. I mean, so that is half. In the history of the Eagles, they have allowed half as many as they allowed the history of the Eagles in their last 5 games. I mean, that's not a fluke. You know what I mean? And like when those numbers are there, and then again, Fletcher Cox, and say what you want, there are certainly some parts of that press conference that, you know, I get paid for sacks and stuff that, you know, you don't love to hear. But Fletcher Cox has definitely paid his dues here in Philadelphia. And look, I think he's having a bad season. I think that he is not fully invested. And I think that's really clear, maybe, you know, for multiple reasons. The roster, BG going down, clearly not believing in the coach, frustration, all that. But for Fletcher Cox to come out and blatantly, like, that is not a subtle shot at Jonathan Gannon and the defensive coaching staff. That is a blatant outward shot. I mean, that's really bad, Elliot. Like, this could fall apart in a hurry.
Yeah, it definitely could. I mean, look, during the third quarter, I tried to look at some initial lines to wondering if the Eagles are going to be favored or underdogs versus the Lions. And honestly, like, they might be underdogs in that game. The Lions are at least competitive, right? I mean, the Eagles were not competitive today. And the other thing that I think we all need to accept is anything that happened in that fourth quarter doesn't matter. Like, this idea that they pulled it close and, like, look at some good plays Jalen Hurts made late. Like, no, forget all that. If you want to tell me Rager's catch was nice and whatever, yes, fine, right? Like, that was a nice catch, good play by him. But
Who cares?
The numbers are way worse than they look. This was not a 10-point loss. They were outclassed from beginning to end by that team. And I think that the most astounding part, and for me, if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, the biggest red flag is they had 10 days to prepare for that team, This wasn't a short week. They had 10 days to prepare for a team that, by the way, is going through maybe, you know, the most traumatic thing right now in the NFL. Like, you don't want to rate traumatic things, but they lost their head coach, their $100 million head coach a few weeks ago, and they schooled him. Like, they schooled him. Sirianni came out to try to run the ball, which was going well. I was texting you, like, this is going to be the biggest run the ball victory parade in the history of victory parades. Like the run the ball crowd was living their dream. And then Miles Sanders went down, and that was it. Like, he had no counterpunch. I know that he kept giving it to Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell to an extent, but, like, they're not the same guys. Like, Kenny Gainwell closer. But ultimately, once his plan didn't work and the Raiders figured it out, like, that was it. And I also think it's extremely encouraging that their big adjustment they made, like, the big adjustment this coaching staff came up to was run the ball. Like, that's it. Like, that was the adjustment. It wasn't, you know, a clever way to use Jalen Hurts. It wasn't, you know, getting rid of the RPO and doing something else. It was handing the ball off, something that high school teams do, right? Like, that was their big adjustment. The big adjustment was, we're going to run the ball. And it's not good. It's just not good. You said it could fall apart. Like, yeah, it most definitely could fall apart. This could get very ugly very quickly. And I don't know where they go from here. Like, it's not easy to find a quarterback. And I guess we'll talk about Jalen in a minute. But, like, Nick Sirianni, I don't know what you do, because you can give him a second year and say, look, we knew you were going to develop all those things. But, like, if the players don't believe in him, I don't know how you give him a second year. Unless you're saying you don't care about basically anybody on the roster, like, I don't know what you do.
Yeah, we'll get to Hurts in a sec, but I wanted to talk Sirianni first anyway. And I think it's a great point because, you know, we've already heard Jake Glazer come out and say, oh, Sirianni, there's no chance. It's a one and done. And, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, Jeffrey Lurie's put in the right stuff out there. And I don't think that Jeffrey Lurie, at any point when he hired Nick Sirianni, thought he had any chance of being a one and done, obviously. But at a certain point, like you said, Elliot, and this is a point you made before the season when we argued or kind of, you know, heading into the season or early on, but about, you know, if the theoretically Nick could be a one and done. And I was like, no way, no way, no way, no way. You know, there's no way they hire him and give him a one and done year and all that. But, like, to your point, if the wheels fall off and this guy consistently on a week to week basis looks overmatched, unqualified, zero creativity, zero discipline. And again, if he loses his locker room, if his guys don't play hard for him, if this ends up being a 3 or a 4 or, you know, even a 5-win team that looks ugly, I mean, you know, I think there's a really decent chance that he's a one and done, because at a certain point, no matter what your intentions are in the hire, no matter what your intentions are in giving someone time, you know that another year isn't going to be enough time. That Nick Sirianni is too far away. Could Nick Sirianni be a good head coach someday? Sure. Is it any time in the next 2 years? No.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy
not.
Is completely overmatched. He is overmatched, Elliot, every single week. And look, like, it's like you're to your point, he got his pants coached off by a special teams interim coach. And you're the one whose stat was great, where it's like interim coaches have won their first game and lost their second like five times in a row or whatever it was. So it's just all the warning signs are there.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Like, Sirianni was a questionable hire, right? Like, Sirianni did not take the job with a lot of people outside believing it.
He was on no one else's list, right?
Exactly. He was on no one else's list. Best way to put it. Jalen Hurts came into this season. Second round pick. People are skeptical about him. All those things. Jonathan Gannon came into his job as one of the most sought-after defensive coordinator candidates on the market. Like we can kill the Eagles for Sirianni and Hurts and all that, but Gannon is just not being who he was supposed to be. Like, Sirianni, you know, you thought there'd be growing pains. I thought that the division would be bad enough it wouldn't matter, but whatever, right? Like, he at least is kind of what you thought you were getting. Jalen Hurts, we knew there were going to be growing pains too, right? Gannon is just terrible. I don't know if he like hoodwinked the entire league. Like, what happened? I don't get what he's doing. Like what is the quality that made him a good candidate? Because it wasn't just the Eagles. It wasn't just us. Like, teams around the league, Brandon Staley, if I'm not mistaken, who is a defensive coordinator, wanted to hire him to be his coordinator in Los Angeles, right? So people were in on this guy, and I look at it and I'm like, why? He doesn't do anything. He just puts the two safeties back, and then it's like, oh, we're not giving up the big plays. What does it matter how you're like, all right, when they did the onside kick, right?
Yeah, and when Derek Carr goes 31 for 34, who cares?
Right.
Who cares
exactly.
If none of them are big plays? Like, what are we talking about here?
Honestly, when they did the onside kick and didn't get it, I almost tweeted it and I pulled back. But I think it's true. Like, honestly, they should just onside kick it every snap, because like at least it decreases the amount of time the other team has the ball. You know, like, at least now they only have to go 50 yards and it only takes a few minutes instead of going like, you know, 95 yards, 80 yards, 75 yards, and like just, you know, dink and dunk and dink and dunk. And the other part of it is, look, the personnel is not as good as I thought it was going to be. But like, the only little bit of blame I'll take from Gannon is, like, guys aren't tackling. You know, like, the thing has
to
work.
To your point. Yeah. Like, they're bad. I mean, all these linebackers are horrendous, and that's been an organizational philosophy. But you know what? Like, that's on Howie for having a defensive coordinator come in here whose scheme needs linebackers to make freaking plays. Like, then, I don't know, maybe you should put some resources into linebackers. And I know it was a tough offseason money-wise and all that, but, you know, hey, it's on you, buddy. They're not talented enough, and Gannon is doing nothing to try and maximize the talent they have. It's like a perfect disaster.
Well, and that's where, like, it's like, how did he trick us? Because, like,
in training camp, everybody?
How did he trick everybody? Like, in training camp, I wasn't the only one saying it. Like, all the beat writers, all everyone at practice was saying, like, oh, they're, like, mixing it up between, a 3 and 4. They have this joker linebacker role that's going to be a stand-up edge rusher. Like, where did all that go? Like, basically, all they do, the entire philosophy is let people complete the ball and then tackle them as soon as they get it. Like, that's the defense, right? Like, and it's a bad defense in general, but it's especially bad when you have, like, Davion Taylor and these guys trying to make tackles. I mean, the Raiders were missing Darren Waller today, and they still did anything they wanted on offense, right? And, yeah, Henry Ruggs didn't have a good game. So what? They didn't need it. Like, it doesn't matter if these guys don't have good games, because they just picked apart the defense other places. So, you know, doing my post-game hit on 94 WIP, Rob Ellis asked me, like, would they fire Gannon? And I just don't know. Like, because what do you hire? You're not going to hire somebody from the outside. Like, who on the staff are you giving that job to? Like, that's the other problem with such a young, inexperienced staff is, like, there's nobody to put up there to take over for Gannon.
Yeah, I don't think they're firing anyone in season, but I think if they decide to pull the trigger on firing Sirianni, they'll pull the trigger on firing Gannon too if this continues. And I think, and we'll move on to Hurts in one sec, but I think the thought that comes to mind on both sides of the ball from a coaching perspective is vanilla. Like, they are both simple schemes without anything interesting, without any creativity on both sides of the ball. Like, and they have no adjustments. And we talked about this last time, but, you know, the thing that Ray Didinger brought up and other people have brought up about, like, they never set things up. They never run a play in the first quarter to see how the defense reacts. They can use it against them in the third quarter. Like, they never do that kind of stuff. And it's just it's a really simple, poorly coached team. Like, maybe if you were simple and your team executed at the highest of levels, okay, I don't know. But like, it's a poorly coached team that is simply coached and is poor from a roster perspective. So it's a bad mix. Let's get to Hurts and then we'll get to some other stuff. But
well, I have one Sirianni specific game thing.
Sure,
if you want to talk about that later.
Well, but I mean, like, there are so many. I mean, I got bailed out by the Maddux interception, but then
that's what I was gonna ask
penalty.
About, yeah.
I mean, that was a disaster. I mean, that was. They
well,
were,
did
they
you
had
hear
the punt
his reasoning
on,
for it?
I don't care. They had the punt team on the field. Like, what are we
well,
doing?
Well, but the reasoning is even worse. So the reasoning is, he goes, so if I do think one thing that should be noted is he said that he made the decision to accept the penalty before the punt team went on the field. So, like, the ref told it to him. He accepted it. Then the punt team went on, whatever, right? Like, there was miscommunication
either way,
there.
Yeah, either
right.
way.
But regardless, like, his reasoning for taking it was he was like, well, 4th and 4 on our chart, we would go for it, and we didn't want them to go for it. And it's like, what are you talking about, man? Yeah, like, your chart said you would go for it, so you thought they would? And also, like, what does that say about your confidence level in the defense that you were so petrified they would go for it? Like, you know? And and look, in some ways, there is a little bit of logic in kicking it back because it's like it's a long whatever. But I don't know, man. Like, that was bad. I mean, there was another thing late in the game that was bad.
Yeah,
that,
I mean, the onside kick was bad. Like, I mean, there were so many things that were bad. Like, and I maybe the onside kick thing, I guess, to your point where the defense isn't stopping anyone anyway.
And you're desperate.
And you're desperate. But I just thought, you know, zero handle. It just – he's a disaster as a head coach right now. You know, DeCamera did the whole – worst Eagles head coach he's ever seen. And I was like, that's aggressive. You know, it's only been 6 games or whatever it was. Like, through 7 games, he's the worst I've ever seen. Like, in terms of, like, any coach's first 7 games, like, it's awful. Like, he's awful. And Gannon's awful. The whole staff just seems inexperienced and overmatched. All right, speaking of inexperienced and overmatched, sadly, you know, Jalen Hurts, who, you know, we love, but just another awful performance. And look, again, I don't think he was helped out by a simple offense by Sirianni, like you talked about. No creative stuff, no, like, doing anything that is creative with Hurts or you know, design the offense around him or anything like that. But even still, he just, you know, he had a couple of nice throws like always, but just not enough, man. Like, he's just not good enough. And it's a shame because I really like him. And maybe someday he could be good enough to be part of a good team and help a team win. But I just think, like, in the time that he has to prove that he's the guy, it's not going to happen. Like, they're going to do something else.
I mean, he's not good enough for this situation right now.
Exactly. Like, that's my point.
Right.
That's my
point. Like, to your point, he is being asked to do maybe more than any other quarterback in the NFL. And I know that's a bit of a stretch because, like, obviously Tom
Brady.
But
it's up there,
like,
from a usage perspective. It's up there, you know?
And he's not good enough right now. Like, I think in the right situation, Jalen Hurts could be really good. Like, the accuracy is a problem, without question. It could be his Achilles heel. But, like, he's got no chance out there. Now, what I'll also say, though, is, like, there is a little part of me that would be interested, still be interested in seeing Sirianni with a different quarterback, just like for
me,
an evaluation
not
standpoint.
Not me. I get
well,
it.
Well, couldn't
but
be worse
me.
Than this. Like it can't
I mean,
be worse
but
than
if
this.
He again, like, to the point we talked about where it was like I'm gonna put my players in position to be successful and utilize their talents, like, if he can't do that for Jalen Hurts, like, I know he's more conventional quarterback with Flacco, but, like, what do I You know, what this guy's not a good enough head coach to get anything, to do anything to make Jalen Hurts better. Like, what do I care what he's like with Joe Flacco? Like, he's not good enough.
No, I think you're probably right that's how it would play out. The only point I'm making
is... I get your point. He's clearly not able to do anything with Jalen Hurts from a scheme perspective.
There's just so many moments where Jalen throws it, and even if it's completed, it's just like... Or even if it's dropped, it's like, it's just not a good throw. Like, he has a throw to DeVonta Smith that's way behind him. DeVonta puts his hands back. So, I mean, honestly, it's the stuff I would kill Carson for. Like, the ball's behind him, hits him in both hands. Yes, he should catch it, but it's a bad throw. The throw to DeVonta where you know, he's like basically wide open on the sideline and he makes a catch, but like it should be an easier throw. The throw to Quez Watkins late in the game, that should have maybe probably been a touchdown or at least a very long, a very long completion. He has a pass that he threw that should have been a pick six, but Goddard batted it away. Like he's not consistently accurate. And I know that he's going against a better defense than Derek Carr went against. I get that. And I get Derek Carr's later in his career. I get that. But in person, it's just extremely noticeable how Derek Carr's passes, it's just like pew, pew, like, you know, just like, you know, accurate, da da da, like. And then Jalen, like, it just doesn't come off of his hand the same way. Like, it doesn't look like Derek Carr's passes look. And maybe he can improve it, I don't know. But like, again, I would not bench him. I wouldn't. But like, I think that there's some logic to it in a way. And the other Jalen thing I'll say is, and I'm not just going to kill him for this because a few players said it and have said it. The players keep saying that execution is a small thing. Like, they'll go to the podium and be like,
the whole sport is execution. Like, that.
Right. So, like, that.
It's the Dallas difference Goddard. Between winning and losing. That's it.
Right. Like, Dallas Goddard goes up to the podium, and Jalen says some of the same things. And it's like, oh, we're really close. Like, when you watch the film.
I hate
it's
that,
like,
too, by the way. Yeah. Enough. Jalen Hurts has been saying that for 3 weeks or whatever. Like, enough. You're not close. You're right. Nowhere close.
Well, and also, like, yeah, you're right. There might be plays to be made there, but guess what? You guys can't make them. You know, like, yes, I'm not disputing that when they watch the film, they look and go, like, oh, look, that guy was open. Or, like, look, if Miles would have ran to the left, there was a hole. But, like, to what we started the podcast off with, like, they are not a team that does those things. They are the Jets. They are the Jaguars, right? Like, they are not a team that executes. Or they'll be like, you know, it's small things like penalties. It's like, penalties aren't a small thing. You know, like we're not talking about a small thing here that was a minor hiccup on the way to you scoring 30 points on a four, you know, in a 4-2 team. We're talking about the fact that you guys never do these things. Like, execution, not a small thing. And they keep saying it, and it's not true. Like, it's not a small thing. And I think, look, I get they have to believe in themselves. I understand that, right? Like, I do. But, like, it's just, you know, it makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm so emphatically with you. And it's just, look, I think, as we've talked about many times, everything, for the most part, Jalen Hurts says is awesome. And I think he says the right thing 99% of the time. Like, the close thing is the wrong thing, man. Like, it's the wrong read right now. It's the wrong thing to say. Like, just say we have to get better. Like, there's a big difference between that. Like, you can't say we're close because you guys right. have been outclassed, like, the last few weeks. Like, outclassed. And by the way, that one win that you had after week one that felt like a loss and, you know, was as much because of Sam Darnold as anything, feels a lot less inspiring after seeing the Panthers get their butts whooped by the Giants today. I'll tell you that much, too. So, you know, I'm with you. It's a bad spot. And back to the execution thing, that comes back to coaching. That comes back to, like, you know, it's like this old, like, core principles stuff. Like, number one is connecting. Like,
I know.
DeCamera said this on the show. He's right. He's like, no, number one should be winning. Like, right. your number one core principle in football should be winning. And you know what maybe number two is, Elliot? Execution. Like, execute. Yeah. Like, seriously, though. And, like, that should be battered into these guys' heads. And it feels like it's just such a mess. And to your point, I think those Fletcher Cox quotes can't be undersold. And McLeod as well. Those are veterans. Those are guys who know the implication of what they're doing. Fletcher Cox is not someone who says stuff to the media. Like, you know, I was about to curse there, and I didn't for all the parents.
Well, you could
there.
Just see the look in his eyes. Like, he was frustrated.
He knows. Like, he knows what he's doing, Elliot. He knows he's been in this city a decade. You know, he knows how his words are going to get taken and repurposed and what it means. And there was no ambiguity about it. Like, it's a big deal. Yeah. Like, and again, if you go into Detroit and lose, like, this could... And let me tell you now, I know it's, you know, the heat of the moment, but whatever the line is, as of right now, I would pick Detroit. Like, I just would. So it's a bad spot, man.
Here's another heat of the moment thing. Like, hey, we've debated this too. Like,
in the heat of the moment.
There it is. The street performer. I'm in Vegas. I feel like the street performer is coming out. Yes. Look, we've debated this, and I at my core, I still believe it would be a good thing if they turned this around and they made the playoffs and Jalen and Sirianni turned it around, right? But, like, let's be honest here. And I'm being honest with myself
now. It's
just
not going to happen.
It's not happening. You know, like, look, I fought the good fight all offseason. I believed it at my core. I thought they were good. I really believed it would be for the best of this franchise if they made the playoffs. When I said I thought the first six games were just a result of the schedule, I believe that. I was wrong. Like, they're a bad team. And, you know, again, if they could somehow get to 9 wins and get in, I think that that is in some way a net positive. But ultimately, what this team needs, like, again, end of the pod, real ones only moment, they need to blow it up. Like, they need everybody gone. They need, like, they have been, like, this whole execution thing. That's what they've been for 4 years now, like, you know, to a certain degree. And they've been able to get to the playoffs and, you know, they've been bet all those things. But, like, they need to blow this up is my takeaway from that game. Like, everyone's got to go. And honestly, if I would keep anybody, like, well, actually, never mind. Everyone's got to go.
Yeah, Stoutland. Stoutland can stay. But it goes to the top. Like, Howie has to go. And I know, you know, anyone who listens to this pod knows that this has been something that I have preached and stood by for a long time. But what more evidence do we need? This roster is falling apart. It is not as good as people thought it was. No offense, you know, and I don't blame you, but I knew there were going to be injuries.
Dude, I was wrong. It's okay.
Yeah, and I knew there were going to be injuries, and the depth wasn't there, and they're asking people to do things they can't do. And then they hired this coaching staff. Even if Sirianni's a Lori hire, like, Howie's intimately involved with all of that. And also, Howie is responsible for Hurts. Not only did he draft him, he also set up the situation that had Hurts playing because of the Wentz thing. Whatever we want to say about Carson and all that stuff, like, as we've, you know, discussed and debated, like, Howie's role in that is obviously pretty clear. So, my point being that you know, we're crushing Sirianni as we should. We're nervous and coming to grips with the Hurts not being it thing. But, like, Howie needs to be in the crosshairs more than anybody, as far as I'm concerned. And you know that's not a surprising thing to hear me say. But don't lose sight of the fact that Howie is still the person who did all this. And he's got four head coaches. Like, if Sirianni goes, which at this point, I think at the end of the year, we're going to be saying he's got to go, which is crazy. I also think that Howie has to go.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. Like, look, I Sirianni's been bad. You could maybe convince me a world where they get rid of Howie and you, like, give Sirianni another chance. I wouldn't do it, but, like, you could convince me that more than other options. But, and I don't want to get into a Deshaun Watson discussion, but I also think, like, when we started the pod talking about what they are now, it's noteworthy that Deshaun Watson refuses to come here. Oh, like, yeah. Forget, like, all the moral, like, all that stuff, right? Deshaun Watson, who's in one of the toughest situations he's met, any player almost, you know, I don't want to say ever, but obviously a lot of players in the league have not been in as tough a situation as Deshaun, where he has all these allegations and, like, you know, he's not even playing right now. He won't come to Philly. Like, he won't do it. So I think it just speaks to how they're now starting to be viewed by these guys, like, yeah, around the league.
Yeah, and it goes back to that.
He'd rather go, like, to Miami or Carolina.
Yep, and it goes back to that chill tweet again. Like, that's what the Eagles are, like, right now, and perception is what matters, and what you are, you know, what have you done for me lately? Like, the Eagles are a Detroit, a Jacksonville, a Houston in terms of production, in terms of culture, you know, in terms of how many, again, like, we spent our entire offseason talking about one story after another, from the tanking thing to a public disastrous Carson Wentz divorce, like, all these things where, like, everyone else is, and we're looking at our own team and saying, like, this is toxic. This is not, like, a great situation, and, you know, this is where it's leading to, you know. And,
well, and, like, look, so I'm in Vegas. There was, you know, fans of Philly had, like, thousands of people here, tons of Eagles fans spending a lot of money to come watch this team, right? I've probably seen more Eagles fans on the road this year than any of the year I've covered them. And I think it's because, you know, last year they couldn't travel and all those things, but, like, it sucks. It sucks for them. Like, you know, like, they come out, they go to Vegas, which is still fun, and the trips are good and all that. But, like, it sucks for these fans that are doing this. Like, the, you know, the Eagles have some of the most devoted fans in the league. And, like, this is what they're being put through, you know, like, and it just, it sucks. Like, you know, I thought the team would be good. maybe deep down I just wanted them to be good because it's been so long. Like, you know, 2020 was a hard year watching the team, and like people are so upset, and like it sucks, man. Like, but they're not good. Like, they're not. And there's nothing to be done about it. It's not an in-season fix. It's not a quick thing. It's not a, oh, they're close. Like, they're bad. And it's going to be a tough rebuild.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. And it's going to be really interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out. Cause I do think that, you know, partially how bad it spirals could mean Howie being gone or not, could mean Nick getting a second year or not, and all that type of stuff. So it's going to be fascinating. And I think right now is a real pivot point with the whole, you know, Fletcher Cox quotes and heading into, you know, what theoretically should be the, you know, one of the easiest games on your schedule against a team that has yet to win a football game, no matter how much they have fought in certain games. You know, they are winless, you know, so this is going to be a really, really fascinating week for this team coming off that sinker. If they rebound, if they fight, like, you know, maybe it doesn't all fall apart. But, you know, if they lose to Detroit, and if it kind of looks the same, it could get, you know,
Well, because the Chargers,
they could have like two top three picks, man. They could have like
Well, at least it'll be an interesting offseason.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. Just looking through my notes, there's nothing like, it's all like, it feels silly to like go through specific parts of the game and all that stuff. Like, but, just, I do think, just to say quickly, I definitely can't believe it might've been a fumble. I can't believe they didn't overturn that game of fumble. Cause from it really did look like his knee was down before the ball went out, but you know, whatever, it's not a game changer. They stopped it anymore. That's the point.
I mean, it matters to a degree, but yes. Yeah.
You know, Dolphins lose again, which is great. I texted this to Elliot, but I'm you know, even though we have had some bad history taking early victory laps on this parade, on this podcast, I'm taking my Ja'Marr Chase victory lap. Like, that dude is unbelievable. He's so good.
You know, I don't really think I pushed back too hard on you for what it's worth.
No, you didn't. Right. You didn't. You didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't.
Okay. You didn't. I just want that out there so people don't think I'm like, I was anti Ja'Marr Chase.
No. You just had like Devontae, you might have taken him ahead of him. It was close for you, whatever. But like, I was, you know, all in on Ja'Marr Chase. It was not a anti you, just a totally pro me. Toot my own horn, Elliot. I got to get something out of this.
Someone's got to get a W today, right? Yeah,
I mean, exactly, buddy. All right. That's all I got for my notes. You got anything else?
No. I mean, look, like I said, Vegas has
been a lot. We'll obviously talk more big picture stuff and all that as the week goes on. We'll have more, you know, we'll get there. But for right now, it's like, you know.
Yeah, well, I guess the last thing I would say is just like, you saw the frustration boil over with Jason Kelce too on the field, you know? So like, I think these veterans are realizing it's not happening, and I'm sure that's really hard for them. And actually, the one last thing, like, Zach Ertz caught a 46-yard touchdown today.
I saw it. It was a nice catch and run, buddy.
Looked kind of cooked this season, right? Like, so, I mean, that's almost as damning on Sirianni as anything else. Like this guy, they couldn't get Ertz to do anything, and the first game he plays with the Cardinals, he's a 46-yard run and catch. Like, so yeah, so there it is.
Yeah, I wish I had said this before, but because there was a better time for it. When you talked about coming out of the mini bye, this is what we get. You know, your changes run the ball, like, which everyone was saying.
Right.
Anyway, we forgot the other massive, massive change that I think Nick Sirianni really thought was going to make a difference. No visor. So
well, I know, like the no visor, but yes, I
do
agree.
I do too. You know, especially with this guy, like, do anything you can to seem more adult than you do right now, buddy.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just, anyway. You got any final thoughts?
I'm guessing the Parks parlay didn't hit. I'm gonna go on a limb.
Well, only because of Carolina. You know, they.
Oh, really?
Well, let me look. Hold on. Carolina, so New England won, Green Bay won it, and it depends on San Francisco. So we have San Francisco money line. So we would, if Carolina had won, we would be going into the San Francisco game with them needing to win to win it.
But, well,
you know, whatever.
Didn't happen for us.
The Panthers are bad.
Yeah, they are. They are.
All right, you got any final thoughts?
For the third time, the final thoughts. No.
Yeah, I mean, you know, go see your show tonight.
It's
going to
be an interesting week.
Yeah, go see your show tonight. Get back safe. We will get some more Vegas stories on the next pod from Elliot.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of fun stuff to talk about with this team. So
always,
you know, yeah, we'll get there. All right. Again, thank you to everyone for listening. We'll be back later in the week for Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys soon.